So this should be a schus. Dr. Simser gave me the name before. It's on the announcements, but essentially this is Lezecher Nishmas, his father, and Lezecher Nishmas, Debbie's father. You'll forgive me, I don't have the exact names on me this second, but it is printed out in the sheets. And also, I think we should have in mind, it should be also refuah for those who are fighting coronavirus, those who are sick, that should bring refuah shleima to them. So what better way to have a schus for refuah shleima for people who are sick than to learn about a good heter that not a lot of people are aware of? The big question we're going to deal with a number of nafkaminas. One nafkamina in the sugya we're about to do is whether one needs to stay in for laning under certain circumstances. And throughout this journey, we are going to look and compare laning when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah versus the laning we do when it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah. And we're going to compare and contrast a little bit and talk about the different nature of those obligations and what kind of leniencies or loopholes come out from those things. Because we wouldn't be good monorthodox people if we didn't try to find a few loopholes over here, right?
Oh boy.
There we go. So what our chakira that we're going to deal with is, our question starting off is in the Birch HaShmuel. The Birch HaShmuel in Yevamos says, Chikir b'shem ha'grach, presumably Hagom Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, but yep, that would make sense because Birch HaShmuel. Hey mahani rov midin rubo kakula tziruf asara esrei b'kriyas haTorah b'kriyas Megillah b'chazaras haShatz. So here's the question. There is a more broader question about the nature of minyan. So it's a Gemara Brachos, a Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, maybe a Gemara elsewhere that I'm not aware of, that says that the Shechina resides upon 10 people, 10 men specifically, right? Because that's the new thing nowadays. You say people, you get shechted for it, right? So 10 men, when 10 men come together, the Shechina rests upon them. And where do we know that from? What's the classic source for it? The
Meraglim.
The Meraglim. So because God conveyed, and Moshe wanted Yehoshua and Kalev to separate themselves from this Eda. And who was left from the Eda? Once you subtract from the 12 Shvatim, you take two away, you're left with 10. So we learned that an Eda is 10 people, and we have a Gezer Shava there, which teaches us that a minion is 10. And so there's a Mishnah in Meseches Megillah, which tells us that when certain things called Dvarim Sheba Kedusha require 10 people. So what are a few examples of Dvarim Sheba Kedusha? 10 men. Okay. I think we just need to insert at this point, if I say people at any point, you assume men because only men are people. Okay. 10. Thank you. 10, when I say people by accident, I mean men. All right?
Okay.
In this context. Good. We clarified that. I'll try my best, though.
Where is this being posted?
So, as I was saying, there's a Mishnah Megillah which lists a number of Dvarim Sheba Kedusha. So, what are examples of Dvarim Sheba Kedusha? Just throw them out there.
Chazaras
HaShatz would be an example Kaddish. Where you need 10 people to do it. Kaddish, Baruch Hu, Kriyas HaTorah.
Kedusha itself.
Kedusha itself. Yeah, yeah, Kedusha right. itself also required. Right, for Chazaras HaShatz.
Right.
Because that's what you need it for. So those are a number of examples. There's a few other more obscure examples that come up in the Mishnah, such as doing certain brachos during a funeral, doing the mamados. There's a few other examples there, but one of the most famous examples is Kriyas HaTorah. So there is a general question when it comes to davening and to laning, which is, okay, I need 10 men present. But what happens if those 10 men, some of them, let's talk about davening for a moment. Some of them already daven. Let's say you're at you go to Six Flags during Chol HaMoed, and you try to scrape together a minyan in the middle of the day. You don't want to stop your family for that long. So you see a bunch of people in Yankee baseball caps, presumably, and polo shirts, presumably they're Jews. So you gather them and rally them all together, and you want to put together a minyan. Some say, oh, I already davened already. So that means one of two things. Either that means he's trying to get out of it, but he doesn't want to tell you straight up. He doesn't want to be confrontational about it, that he doesn't want to stay for your minyan. Or it means that he's concerned for a special chumrah that maybe in order to have a proper tefillah b'tzibur, you need 10 people who have not yet fulfilled their obligation of tefillah. And since some of these people already davened mincha, they ideally could not count to forming those 10 men to make the minyan. So that is a question that comes up every day when we just wait for people. Another way this comes up is just think about, imagine we're davening here at Shul, and six men, including the chazan, finished Shemona Esrei already. They're waiting to start Chazaras HaShatz. Do you have to wait for 10 men to finish their Shemona Esrei so they could all answer? Or is it sufficient to have a rove of the minyan finish and be ready? And then we say rubo kukulo, as long as most people are able to answer and are with us and are ready, then as long as we have 10 bodies, 10 male bodies here in the room, the Shekhinah rests upon 10 male bodies. And this comes up in halacha also when we talk about Purim. It's actually very relevant. Let's say someone's a little bit drunk. Let's say someone drank a little bit, either inebriated or he's dozing off. Can we count those people toward a minyan? So those are all relevant questions. Now, there is a related discussion to Kriyas HaTorah. So the Birch HaShmuel, saying his Rebbe Reb Chaim, says, Hey Mahani Rov Midin Ruba Gakulo, let's see if Asara Bekriyas HaTorah, Bekriyas Megillah, Bechazaras HaShatz. So he asks in general, can I say rubo kukulo? A din throughout shas, a shas concept, that we say as long as you have the majority, it's as if you have everything. Can that work for minyan? V'kasav du toloi b'mash yesh lachkor b'din asara b'hanach mili. So here's this chakira. The first side is, im yesod ha-din da'chiv chal asara b'yach ha-dafka, is pshat in requiring a minyan is that only when 10 people come together, that's when the obligation becomes incumbent upon that congregation to do Kriyas HaTorah. Or do we say, O denema, de ikar achiv chal al kol echad, elo de dinhu she'eno nemar ela ba'asara. Or do I say, no. It's not pshat that when 10 people form a community, all of a sudden, now the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah becomes incumbent upon that tzibor. Rather, each and every individual in the community has an obligation. I have an obligation, you have an obligation, we all have our own individual obligations. The same way you have an individual obligation to put on tefillin, same way you have an individual obligation to sit in a sukkah, it's not related to the next person. We all have individual obligations to have Kriyas HaTorah take place. However, there just happens to be a technicality that the way to fulfill that mitzvah is by utilizing 10 people. I mean, I have to make sure that I hear Kriyas HaTorah. But in order for me to have a legitimate Kriyas HaTorah to fulfill that obligation, I need to gather 10 men together in order so that the Shekhinah rests upon us and we could say the brachos and do Dvar Moshe B'Kedusha. That is the Chakira. And based on this chakira, we're going to answer the question, this will be our first nafkamina, of whether you need the entire minyan to have not heard Kriyas HaTorah yet, or can we suffice by saying most of the tzibor has not heard Kriyas HaTorah yet, but the other four people were just being mitztari for the minyan. Does that work? So B'chai Adam, Klal Laman Aleph, he says, She'ein likros b'Torah b'vracha, you cannot read Torah with a bracha, ela imkein kol asar lo yatsu yidei chovasam, unless every single man, at least having 10 men, who have not yet heard Kriyas HaTorah. So you try to grab someone from Hashkama Minyan and bring them over to the 9 o'clock May Minyan, that's not going to work if you are B'tzimtzum and you need him to count toward the Minyan. V'chalak mechazar sashatz, and he says this is actually different than the Chazan's repetition of Shemona Esrei. Over there, the Sagi Barov Tzibor, Sheterem Shamu Chazar Sashat. He thinks, actually, when it comes to Shemona Esrei, it's more lenient. Ubaruch HaShulchan Bier Shebekriyas HaTorah Ein Ikra Achiv Rak Ba'asara. So actually, even though in the Mishnayos and Megillah, it just lists all of them together, the Birch HaShmuel is pointing out that there are different gradations. When it comes to Chazaras HaShatz, when it comes to that, we're actually willing to rely on Rov Minyan. You could wait for six people and then start Chazaras HaShatz, maybe. Even there, it is a machlokas. You can have four people that have not yet davened, and that will still be that have already davened. That would still be a fulfillment. When it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, Kriyas HaTorah requires all 10 men to have not yet fulfilled their obligation. That's the Shita of the Chai Adam. However, if we look in the Be'er Halacha, Simukuf Mem Gimel Sif Aleph, Shehissim Yedevar Aram Megillah Hey Amad Aleph. So let's say Megillah Hey Amad Aleph. So it says, Amar Rav, Megillah Bizmana Koronosa Afil B'yachid, Shlo Bizmana Basara. So let's say there's a whole, the Mishnayos and Megillah deal with this, and Mesechta Megillah had already, I know you quoted Megillah yesterday, Chal Shittah, so you're holding in these sugyas. So there's ideal time to say, to read Megillah on Yudalit and Tesvav, depending on where you're located. But depending on the circumstances, we have to change the date of Megillah. So Rav says, if you're reading Megillah at its proper time, then even a Yachid, you don't need a Tzibor to lay Megillah. You can just pull out your own Megillah and your Yotze. However, Shelo Bizmana, if you're reading it at the improper time, you have to shift the time for whatever reason, then you need a minion in order to lay Megillah. So it'd be Yudal and Tesvav, depending on where you are. If you're in the village, what was that? Yeah, but sometimes the Mishnayos already are dealing with, you have to push it up depending on different circumstances. So Rav Asi Amar, and this is how we paskin, Bein Bizmana, Bein Shelo Bizmana Basara. So whether you're laning in the ideal time or the adjusted time, it is still fulfilled. You still need 10 people, 10 men. And Rashi points out over here that it's a mitzvah, lachzor acher asar mishum persumei nisa. Even though we pass like Rav Asi that you're supposed to have 10 in any circumstance, that's only lichat chila that you should find a minion. Avol ilo eshkach asara, lo amar Rav Asi dilo likri. But if you can't find 10 people, Rav Asi doesn't say you've lost the mitzvah. No, you should still lay on your own. Shein iser kriyasa biyachid. There's no iser to lay on your own. Ela mitzvah likrosa basa. Rather, it's just ideal that you can read it together with a minion.
Well, the issue is, can you say the brachas on your own?
So you can't say Ravis Rivenu. That was already a dispute if you're supposed to say it, but definitely you don't say it without a minion. But the other brachos you would be able to say. So the early brachos prior to Kriyas Megillah you would still make. So you'd make the Shachianu, you would make the Al Mikra Megillah, the Shas and Nisim, you make all three of those brachos. But Ravis Rivenu you only do with a minion. That's what we paskin. So the Bir Halacha says that actually, no, Desagi Barov Tzibor, Delo Kedasa Chaya Adam. So the Bir Halacha disagrees with the Chaya Adam, and he says that it's sufficient to have a Rov Tzibor ready. So now what's the difference over here? If I say the mitzvah is on, that the mitzvah is on a congregation of 10 men that come together, and that's it's incumbent upon 10 men that come together, then I need all 10 of those men to have not yet fulfilled their chiyuv, because the chiyuv only comes into effect when there are 10 men who have not yet fulfilled their obligation. That's the idea. However, if I say, and this is the Bir Halacha's line of reasoning, that no, really, Kriyas HaTorah is incumbent upon every single individual, every single male individual. So, but I just need a minion, I just need 10 bodies in the room in order so I could create a Dover Sheba Kedusha, so the Shekhinah is here, so that way I could be Yotze, my individual obligation. So then, the Bir Halacha makes sense. I don't need the entire Tzibor to have fulfilled to not have fulfilled their obligation. It would be sufficient if Rova the Tzibor has not yet fulfilled their obligation. We're not so machmir on it because here we're just fulfilling an individual obligation. The chalos, the effect of the chiyuv already is incumbent upon me before 10 people are in that room, according to Bir Halacha. I just need 10 people now in order to fulfill my mitzvah of laning. But if we say that the mitzvah is not on the individual, the mitzvah is on the congregation, until I have 10 men in that room who have not yet fulfilled their obligation of laning, there is no chalos, there's no obligation that takes effect upon them. So that's the difference. If I say the obligation is on the tzibor, I need all 10 men to have not fulfilled their chiyuv. If I say it's on the individual, then we're more makel on that, and it's okay to have rova the mini that has not yet heard laning. That's their machlokis, and that's the first nafka mina of whether we say the obligation is on the tzibor or the yachid. All right? Ubalmor Megillah Ham and Av Hiksha Lemolo Nisha did Kriyas Megillah Lechal Kol Dvarim Shetu Unim Asara. So here's a question: we have a whole list of different things that require 10 people, 10 men. 10 men in order to be able to do. And it's kind of funny, you know, we list so many things, and yet, why didn't Megillah make the cut? Megillah, I mean, not only do you have to have, are you supposed to have a minion for it, but in fact we say that that is special inyan of pursuing Nisa, of Rav Hadras Melech, we all have to come together in order to create a huge crowd. You're not supposed to make splinter minyanim if you could avoid it when it comes to Kriyas Megillah. And somehow Kriyas Megillah didn't make the cut? So he says, "V'tirtz Ramban v'zelish shono hashnuim v'mishnah seinu konkrias haTorah kulam chovos hatziborhein." What's a mishnah listing? It's not simply listing dvar mishnah kedusha, things that require 10 men for, but there's an additional criterion that decides what makes the cut for the mishnah, and these are things that require 10 men. It, within the framework of a chuvas hatzibor, within the framework of a tzibor's obligation, of a congregational obligation, ve'einan ela kimechuyavim b'davar, avol megillah kishem shehatzibor chayev kach kol yochid v'yochid chayev v'yochish lo karat tzarech asar mishum persume nisa ad kan l'shono. What's the distinction that the Baal Meor makes? He says when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, it comes to Shmona Esrei, it comes to all these different things listed in the Mishnah. Over there, it's an obligation to come upon the Tzibor. But when it comes to the Kriyas HaMegillah, like we just read here in the Gemara and in Rashi, ideally you have a minyan, but the mitzvah is incumbent upon each and every yachid. If I'm home, I can't make it to shul on Shabbos, I'm not going to pull out a Torah and read it on my own. There's no obligation to do that. Maybe, like what we just had for this past Shabbos, Parshat Zachar, someone who couldn't make it to shul, the advice given may be to actually read it from a chumash, because some opinions say you're yotzei that way, because maybe it's not really a chiyuv of kriya. But when it comes to kriyas haTorah, that can only take effect... What? Oh, okay. Nothing to be sorry about. So when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, it's... So when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, that's a Chovas HaTzibor. But Megillah is different from Kriyas HaTorah in many ways. There's a number of halachas about Megillah that makes it different. You know, can you... Can you read?
Two people at the same time.
So, right, we don't say the issue of Trei Kali Lo Mishtamali. So
this Torah.
Right, so for Kriyas HaTorah, we assume people aren't paying as much attention to the laning, so it would be an issue. You wouldn't hear it. There's like a number of different distinctions between it, and this is one of them. One of the distinctions is if it's on the individual or if it's on the tzibor. And this Gemara in Rashi we just saw in Megillah is the proof text for that. It tells us that if you can't make it to minyan, you could still fulfill the mitzvah of leining Megillah all on your own at home. Masha ein kein when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, that you would not fulfill at home. In fact, you may not even be obligated in it if you are at home. Because, as we said, if it's a chovas hatzibor, the obligation only takes effect once there are 10 men together. Now, one quick side note, what does it mean 10 men together? Does it mean the moment 10 men walk in the same room, or maybe for just in the same kahila, the same community, that's enough to say there are 10 men within travelable distance to each other, maybe the chiv is already incumbent upon that city of 10 men. So that's important to keep in mind about how exactly we're magdir when 10 men are considered together for these purposes. That's beyond the scope of what we're going to do now. Varansha.
If you have 9 men,
yeah.
Can you go to somebody's house and say, "Do you have a chiyuv to be here because our community has an obligation?" Versus he could say, no. There's no 10 men in shul. There's no obligation.
Ah, so right, that would be related. We're actually going to deal with the opposite case soon, which is, let's say someone is at home and is sick. Do we bring a minion to their house? Do we bring a sefer Torah to their house? So we're going to deal with that in a moment. That's 2 paragraphs from now. V'rancham hevi divrei haramban v'hosipa devarim denafkmi b'zeh b'im chelak me'atzibor yotzidei chavasan. So the Ran now explicates what we just said, so we'll read through it quickly. The idiom kriyas haTorah eim avarchin el imkein atzibor lo yotzidei chavaso. The rakasher atzibor mechuyavim ekriyazu chal aleim chavas atzibor. So the Ran says, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, we need the entire tzibor to have not fulfilled their chiyuv just yet. Because he is buying into this distinction of the Ramban. that Kriyasator is a Chovas at Sibor. Therefore, you need everyone in that minion to have not fulfilled, not to have heard laning yet. Masha Einkin Chovas Kriyas Megillah, Mutelas al Kol Yachiv Yachiv Lekros Ba'asara. It's incumbent upon every individual to find a minion to listen to it there. Va'avim Kol Hatisha Yadzidei Chavasan. Let's say nine people in your minion, except for you, you're the 10th person, everyone else already heard Kriyas Megillah. Tzarech HaYachid Likro Bifneim Mefersumei Nisa. The Yachid should read in front of them, if he's capable, he should read Megillah with them there, in order to fulfill his Chiyav. Ki Kiyuma Bifnei Asara Achovaso Chovas Yachidi. Even though its Kiyam is with 10 people, the Chiyav is incumbent upon the individual. So it's incumbent upon the individual to find himself a minion.
That individual is going to obligate the nine people to stick around?
Ah, so you're asking, what about Tircha Tzibura?
Yeah.
So I would say that they would not be obligated to stay around. If they want to do this guy a favor, they're able to do it. I don't think they would be obligated to take off the entire day, especially given the fact that since it's an obligation on the individual, we mentioned that Bidyevit, he could lean on his own.
Right.
This is a Bidyevit situation. He woke up late, whatever he was doing the night before. Maybe he decided to, for some reason, have a early Purim suit up. People have parties on Purim night. So he had a hangover and woke up late the next morning, missed Megillah laning. So, yeah, why should those nine people have to hang back for it? It's almost like it happens sometimes when we are doing Hataras Nedarim and everyone just finished up and then that one guy walks in and then you know what I'm talking about? Like, it happens all the time. This one guy like walks in late and everyone's ready to go. We already did the mass Hataras Nedarim. Now for this one individual, these people have to stay back.
Like in five towns, you see in the newspaper, Chabad or whatever, after a certain time, every hour on the hour, they're going to be they have the Megillah. So does that mean they have people there sticking around all day to make sure they have a minion? Or they just read for whoever is the individual is?
I don't know what they do. I mean, obviously, again, it's ideal just mitzad the chiev from the perspective of what's the ideal way to do it, have a minion. But again, you can't be matriach, nine people, to stick around to do that. That's just not right for them. And that's important in general. You know, you have your own schedule, and you have to work like that. If you're with us on Hashkama, you're on Shabbos. So are you doing Hashkama? Or
yeah.
So we quote the Pri Chadash, and we talked about how important Tircha Tzibur is. And I attempted not to speak too long, but I may have been matriach then myself. So very important. By the way, that's actually a series I might be doing soon at the shul. I'm putting together a different set of shiurim on Tircha Tzibur. It's one of those things that is just. You know, people say Kavod HaBrios and they don't know the actual parameters of how to apply Kavod HaBrios halachically. It's just like this, it became a meta halachic concept, but it actually has halachic consequences. So people either overextend it or people think it's just a joke and doesn't mean anything. So it's a similar thing for Tircha Tzibura. It has halachic implications. It's just that people don't know how wide or how thin it's supposed to be. Anyway, next nafkamina. That was nafkamina one. Nafkamina number one is, can you rely on Rove of the Minyan not yet davening? We are done with that. Not yet hearing Kriyas HaTorah. Next one. V'yun v'yirshami yoma b'chol asar at omer hochen achar Torah. In general, we say, if there is a Sefer Torah, you don't bring the Sefer Torah to the people, you bring the people to the Sefer Torah. There is a similar Lashon, not Lashon, a similar story they attribute to Moshe Feinstein. I don't know, attribute to whatever rabbi you want. Some great Orthodox rabbi of recent centuries said that when you're learning in the base medrash, so unlike our shul, which is what modern Orthodox batei medrash look like with tables, which I prefer, the yeshivish batei medrash, they all have shtenders. So there's two ways that you can learn while you have a shtender. Either you can put your sefer on the shtender, lean back on your chair, and pull the shtender to you, and put your sefer in front of your face. Or you can lean forward and to the sefer and learn from it on the shtender. So they say, Rav Moshe Feinstein said, that you shouldn't bring the Torah to you, you should bring yourself to the Torah. My one little quibble is that I don't know how good that is for your posture. But that's my one little quibble about it. But on an ideological level, it definitely makes sense based on what it says in the Gemara in Yoma, that you don't bring the Torah to the people have to drag themselves and put in the effort to bring themselves closer to the Torah. Zulas mean b'koyin gadol b'yom kippurim shatorah misal b'anashim midolam. Aside for his case in Yoma about a koyin on Yom Kippurim, which is a big, it's one of the primary sources of the Tirchet Tzibur Sugya, that a koyin gadol on Yom Kippurim, when he lanes in the afternoon in the Beis HaMikdash precincts, they carry the Torah over to the koyin gadol, and they have this whole process that it goes from this dignitary to that dignitary to the Skan koyin gadol to the koyin gadol himself. So even when they bring the Torah to the koyin gadol, it's done in the most respectful and dignified manner possible. So here's the question now. Now we just establish that we don't bring the people to the Torah, we don't bring the Torah to the people, that people should go to the Torah. What do you do when someone is sick in their house and he can't make it to shul and he doesn't have a Sefer Torah over there? Ukasa be'elia rabba, I skipped a line.
Yeah.
The Dasa Mordechai de Ein Mavin. The Mordechai says we do not bring the Torah to a person who is sick in their who is bedridden. V'chein halacha b'shulchan aruch, and the shulchan aruch paskins this way. Cites the Mordechai. V'chasav Eli Rabba. The Eli Rabba comments on here. He qualifies this then. This is only when the minion of people bringing over the Torah have not yet fulfilled her obligation. So he says it depends on the circumstances. If the minion has already fulfilled their obligation, you do not bring the Sefer Torah over. And that's what the Mordechai is talking about. Why? Because if the obligation is only on the Tzibor, it doesn't make sense to bring the Torah to this Yachid. As we point out, the Yachid is bedridden in his house. He's not obligated in Kriyas HaTorah. The obligation is mutl, it's incumbent upon the Tzibor. So if the Tzibor already fulfilled their obligation, it doesn't make sense for them to go to the Yachid in order to do Kriyas HaTorah. But if the Tzibor has not yet fulfilled their obligation, then there's still a chiyuv on this entire Tzibor, so there's more reason for them to be able to go over to that Yachid and to form a full minion in order to lay the Torah. But there's certainly, the Eliyahu Rabba is saying, based on the understanding that Kriyas HaTorah is a chiyuv on the Tzibor, you do not go to an individual in order to lay the Torah because he's simply not obligated in it. So there's no reason to bring a Torah over for an individual who's not chayiv in it.
There's only 10 in the community.
Right.
Oh, then, and the 9 can't do it without him.
Oh, and then they haven't fulfilled their obligation yet.
They have to go to him.
Certainly, because they haven't fulfilled their obligation yet. But we're saying, let's say the Tzibor already fulfilled their obligation. There's no reason to go to Yachid. It's not Kriyas HaMegillah. Kriyas HaMegillah, they would have to. And going further in this distinction between Megillah, and this is relevant, obviously, of course, for Purim, which is in a few days. Yeah, very soon. So another distinction between Megillah and Kriyas HaTorah, or Kriya of other Megillos, is cited in Maisa Rav, which quotes the Minhagim, the practices, the beliefs of the Gra, of the Vilna Gaon. He was asked, Lefishi tasa sheish chiyuv likro Megillah shir shirim v'rusim avarchin al kriyasam asher gisham etzosu sivano al mikra Megillah. The Gra's Minhag was to make a bracha al mikra Megillah on the Megillos that we only lane as a Minhag. I don't know, I think in the Ashkenazi community, so we have a minhag to go through all of these different Megillas. Sfarim have different minhagim. You know, these aren't, once you get past Megillas Esther, the other Megillos, there's a machlokis if you make a bracha on them because they were never formally instituted by the Rabbanan. That's why we have different, we go through all Kohelas and we do it all in one shot. Sfarim have divergent, I don't know exactly what they do, they have divergent minhagim. They certainly don't do Kohelas all in one shot on Shabbos Chol HaMoed or on the last days. They don't do that. So, what about these minor Megillas? Lama lo chashu chachamim shema yavi renu. Dalan Amos Bereshus HaRabim Kefisha Chashu BeKriyas HaMegillah. So the question is, we are concerned about laning Megillah. You should not. We're not laning on Shabbos. We're afraid. The Chum are afraid that if you carry Megillah, if you lay Megillah, then you're going to come carry it on Shabbos in Reshus HaRabim when there is no Erev. Well, Erev will not help a Reshus HaRabim. So you're going to carry it in Reshus HaRabim. Dalan Amos be over in Isser Doraisa. So the question is, if the Gra really holds that the other four Megillas are such a strong chiyuv to the extent that you have to make a bracha on them, that they are legitimate halachic krios, then why is it that the Chachamim weren't equally concerned about asking them to be read on Shabbos? Maybe you'll come to carry Koheles or Shir Shirim through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos. Why weren't the Chachamim concerned about that? They don't have to be read from a klaf, so I have to check the Gruz Shita, but it might be that the same people say you make a bracha on it, I think they would say you also read it from a klaf.
It doesn't necessarily make a difference. The question is it in the place where you need to read it? Let's say the place where the 10 people gathered doesn't have that book available.
Right.
You might be tempted to bring the book.
Yeah, but it's more likely they don't have a klaf available.
So I think the grub, if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to conjecture too much, the grub would require a klaf because you're making the bracha. So you're going to make the bracha on a reading from a klaf. You're not going to make the bracha on reading from a chumash. I think that's implied over here.
So, haftorah,
some places are more makbid to do it, but haftorah we don't.
They have a scroll for each
Some places do that, if you're fancy and if you have enough people that you can rely on to do it. But Haftorah, you want to get people involved in laning who don't want to bother practicing all the trub. I mean, it works for people like me. I find it too tedious to practice laning. So Haftorah, I could do in a pinch because it's all there. So it's easier for us. But there are, even for Haftorah, there are gradations. Poskim say that you should ideally read from a full Tanakh. So you get that big art scroll Tanakh on the table rather than the Haftorah book is not ideal. The ideal, if you don't have a klaf, is to use have a full Tanakh in front of you. So that's something that people don't know. Okay, so what does he say? What's his answer? Why? Because Megillah is a chiyuv on the yachid. If it's only a chiyuv on the yachid, then we're not worried. Basically, we're playing a value game over here. So chiyuv of a yachid, right? You have your alligator, the carrot symbol, whatever you call it, the greater or less than sign. So what's greater is the concern of carrying something on Shabbos versus a chiyuv of a yachid, a chiyuv of a yachid. But if we're talking about Kriya Shar Megillos, he chovas at Sibor, Gederach Kriya Sator Shel Gazurba. But the laning for Megillos is modeled after the laning that we do for Kriya HaTorah, which is a Chiv on the Tzibor. Ah, now that we're talking about the needs of the Tzibor, the we're not going to be goes there, that lest we be concerned someone carry the Megillos on Shabbos through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Because when we're talking about a need for the Tzibor, all of a sudden the stakes are intensified. And this is a general klal throughout Kol HaTorah Kula. It comes up on Shabbos as well. That's the reason that, let's say the lights go out on Shabbos in Shul, and let's say you don't hold like Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the electricity is derabbanan, you assume like the Chazon Ish, the Aruch HaShulchan, that's midoraisa. So you could ask a guy, Amir La'akim, without hinting straight up, can you do Malacha Doraisa for me? Because it's a tzorech for the entire tzibor. It's a tzorech rabim. Similarly, when the Erev falls down as well, you can ask the guy to fix the Erev on Shabbos, to fix the Tzuras HaPesach, the string, in order that the rabim, the tzibor, should be able to carry on Shabbos. In fact, there's a number of other leniencies there because technically there's a way to tie it in a way that it's a ketcher she'enel shel kayama. So since the guy's able to do it in a mutter fashion, that's another reason why you can ask a guy to do it. But
since who can do it in a different way?
The guy, when he ties...
He has to do it in a different way?
He doesn't have to, but since he's able to do it in a mutter fashion, you're not asking him to do something usser for you on Shabbos. Now, chances are the guy's going to tie it in a knot that's usser.
If you had to, you could do it in a different way.
So if you had to, let's say that, so it would only be an isser derabbanan for you to do it, so we would need something else still.
But
we would need a guy to do it.
But if you're afraid that people won't know that the area was down, and because it happened on Shabbos, let's say, Would you be able to do it on Shabbos?
No, a Jew wouldn't do it on Shabbos. We ask a guy to do it on Shabbos. Now, the question is, let's say it falls down and you can't fix it. Do you inform the tzibor or not? So one of the main reasons why you don't inform the tzibor is because we're afraid people won't listen to you and people will still carry anyway.
Bemeze.
Or people, you know, it's like a lot of halachas today that people know is a halacha, but they don't really keep to it. People think like on Yontif you could do everything you want since you're allowed to cook. You know, people think that means you could like people today think that you could just rip toilet paper on Shabbos. That you could only do if you're in a tough situation, you're in dire straits. That's all you have with you. But you're supposed to have pre-cut, or you're supposed to have tissues with you. So people just assume that you could do these things. So that's one of those things. We're afraid that if we tell people you can't carry, they're still going to carry anyway. So muto shiyu shogigin. It's better that they do it not aware that they're doing an aver rather than they do it bemezid, as you pointed out. Anyway, let's get to the. Right, okay, we're getting to the crescendo. One last paragraph. Ubeginas vradim, kasav she'en likros parshas v'zus habracha, besimchas Torah kama pamim. So this is something we do when it comes to Simchas Torah. As we're familiar, everyone wants to get their aliyah. So what happens? We just read v'zus Torah and we read all those aliyahs a million times over. Here's the question, though. Kriyas Torah yichova al tzibor. V'chemisha at tzibor shema kriyazu. Wait a minute. If the tzibor already heard v'zos habracha the first time, and the tzibor already fulfilled their obligation of kriyas haTorah of hearing v'zos habracha, ketzad yalu v'yivarchu olam halalu al kriyas shenochova letzibor. How can we then call up a number of other aliyos? Do dvarim sheba kedusha, saying baruchu the brachos. How do we keep doing that if the tzibor already fulfilled their chiyuv?
Talking about Simchas Torah.
Simchas Torah. And then he says, ah, you'll ask me on Chanukah, Koronosa Kriya Beis Pamim, we do the same Kriya twice, Ubisukkis Koronosa Kriya Dala Pamim, and we do the same laning for Sukkis four times. Over there, Hasam, Chovas Tzibor Hilashmoa Dala Pamim, because there, the Chachamim instituted the chiyuv in a way that we were supposed to hear the same laning that many times. So it's not pshat that you're being mosif three other times. You're supposed to do four times, and that's the fulfillment of your obligation. However, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah on Simchas Torah, this whole idea of having multiple aliyos is just it's a nice thing that was added on. But is it really a nice thing? Maybe we're not supposed to do it. Maybe we're not supposed to keep saying, oh, doing all the Dvar Moshe B'Kedusha once the Tzibor has already fulfilled their obligation. I would add on also, if any Yachid was present there, I'm adding on to this question, let's say any Yachid was present over there and they already heard V'zos HaBracha, even if you say the Chiv is Mutal on the Yachid already fulfilled this Chiv. So what's he doing over there getting an Aliyah for V'zos HaBracha? So that is another question that he brings up. Now, this is the crescendo, the final nafkamina we're going to deal with, the difference between whether Kriyas HaTorah is a chiyuv on the tzibor, on the congregation, or on the yachid, is the following. Pelagi. He has a lot of fun shitos, by the way. Rechaim Pelagi, I think, if I'm not mistaken, from Turkey, definitely Middle Eastern origin, so I guess you would colloquially say a Sephardi rabbi, Sephardi posik. He's very famous for a number of reasons. One of them I'll just throw out is that Tzitz Eliezer has his tshuva on gender reassignment, and he cites Rechaim Pelagi as his precedent. Rechaim Pelagi deals with this case, I think it was a woman somehow turned into a man, and then the question is, does that couple require a get now? And then basically the conclusion is that marriage is only between a man and a woman in halacha. So by virtue of this woman turning into a man, there can no longer be a marital bond between two men. So therefore, the marital bond dissipates on its own without requiring a get. So Rechaim Pelagi cited as the precedent in that tshuva. He has a lot of novel ideas. So one of them here, it's not in his tshuva, it's in the Sefer Smicha Lechaim. He cites the Baal HaChikrei Lev, who says, Shekriyas HaTorah Eina Mutelas Al Kol Yachid. Kriyas HaTorah is not incumbent upon every individual. The Chevin Shehasara Shamu HaKriya Once you got 10 people, yeah, 10 people, right? Like, well, this morning, thank God we have more than 10. But let's say that's all we had every morning. Let's say Shabbos morning, all we had was almost 10 people there, 10 men that came. Once 10 men have listened to laning, Niskaima Atakana, the Takana has been fulfilled. Va Alhayochin Mutul Rak, Shnai Mikra Ve'echa Targum. What's the Yochid's obligation? Every individual, I think he's referring to men here, is obligated in Shnai Mikra Ve'echa Targum. So what do? The Gemara Bracha says, you read the Mikra, you read the Parsha in Hebrew twice. And you read a Targum, maybe Rashi, maybe Unklus, maybe English, once. That is incumbent upon each and every individual. But when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah for the Tzibor, that's an obligation, it's incumbent upon the Tzibor. And for that very reason, the Shulchan Aruch says that, let's say, once the Torah is covered in between Aliyos, Ben Gavra LeGavra, if one needs to go out to the restroom, one needs to go check on their child in youth groups, whatever the reason might be, I'm not saying Kiddush Club, whatever the reason might be, you could go out in between Aliyos. Granted, there's still 10 men inside there who are fulfilling the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah. Shari Niskaima Takonas Kriyas HaTorah B'Asara. What does God / Chachamim want? They want Kriyas HaTorah. What's Kriyas HaTorah? It's a Kaman at Tzibor. So since it's a Kaman at Tzibor, wait a minute. The Tzibor needs to do it. I'm just the Yachid. As long as the congregation hears Kriyas HaTorah, maybe I should be able to, chop some herring and Kiddush in the meantime. That you're not allowed to speak once the Sefer HaTorah is open. There's an Isser to talk, right? So the Rashba says that once the Sefer Torah is open for the Aliyah, it's usher to talk. Why would you need to tell us usher to talk? Obviously, it's usher to talk because you need to be listening to Kriyas HaTorah. So that is mashma, that even if you're not one of those 10 people that are helping fulfill the obligation, there's an additional isser to talk during the Aliyahs. And for Rishonim, we'll conclude with, we have 3 minutes, we'll conclude with this paragraph. For Rishonim and Brachos Chesam Av Kasu, the Mutter La'ayim B'Sarim B'Shas Kriyas HaTorah, the Rishonim and Brachos Chesam Av that say that it's a classic thing. You know, like during Kabbalah Shabbos, when I was in Yeshiva, everyone was dancing, and then the Rosh Yeshiva, he was sitting at a shtender, and he was going through the Gemara, and he had Rebbe Chaim in front of him. V'huva B'Shulchan Aruch, V'yesh Matirin Rakam Yishahu Turo Shatarasa Umnaso. This is mutter for someone, like a Rosh Yeshiva, who his job is to be learning Torah, and all day he's just steiging. So how can we tell him that during laning he should stop learning Torah? However, there are some who qualify and say, you can learn during laning, but it shouldn't be, you hear some Vayomer Hashem, Moshe Lamor, Neir, Zog, the Hail Gemara. That just wouldn't work for decorum purposes. But in principle, there's no issue with learning during laning. We just said that. The Hiksheb Be'er Halacha, our good friend the Be'er Halacha from earlier. And it's going to be Lishitaso. Shitazu Tamula Chormaod. This doesn't make any sense. Demai Mahani Shei Garsu Balachash. Why does it make sense? Why is it helpful if you learn silently? Shalivatul Shar Shom Mikristos. You don't distract anyone. Mikol Makom Gamhu Mitzvah Lishmoa Kriyas HaTorah. How does it help if you're learning silently? You don't disturb others from listening. Don't you have your own individual obligation to be listening to the Torah? That's the question he asks. There's an individual chiyav. I'll call ish ve'ish mutol hachiyav titakon et Ezra. And this is a question that's cited in the Beis Yosef. L'chora kushya zu yusheves l'mashe kazu aber halacha hanal du chovas hatzibor. Remember way, way back at the beginning of this year, we mentioned that there was machlokes dechai adam ber halacha, whether rubo kakulo works, whether you need the entire minyan to have not yet fulfilled the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah, or whether you only need a robe of the minyan to have not yet fulfilled their obligation of Kriyas HaTorah. We talked about that. So the Chai Adam said, since it's an obligation that's incumbent upon the Tzibor, we need the entire Tzibor to have not yet fulfilled their obligation. But the Be'er Halacha, the very same Be'er Halacha, he says, the Chavetz Chaim says, that no, it's a mitzvah that is incumbent upon the Yachid, therefore and Yochid just needs 10 people in order to do Kriyas HaTorah, in order to have a Dvar Moshe B'Kedusha. So there, he was okay saying, we don't need everyone from the Minyan to have not yet fulfilled their obligation. So for the very same reason that they have their Machlogis over there, if Ruba Kukulo works for a Minyan, what, because the Chayyim says it's a Chiyav on the Tzibur, Berlacha says it's a Chiyav on the Yachid, they also, there's also going to be a similar argument over here of whether one is allowed to learn during Kriyas HaTorah. If we say that it's a, the obligation is to come upon a Tzibur, yeah, I can learn during Kriyas HaTorah. Granted, I don't ruin the decorum of everyone else. I don't compromise that. Because as long as there's 10 men listening, I don't need to be that 10th person listening. Now, the issue is, what happens if everyone else thinks that? That's why I only share it with my friends who came here this morning. I'm not sharing this with the entire shul. So this is the benefits of coming to the shir. But the Be'er Halacha would say that no, true, the Be'er Halacha is more lenient in our first Nafka Mina when he was dealing with the question of, does Ruba Kula work? He says Ruba Kula works because it's an obligation that's incumbent upon Yachid. But over here in this question, for the very same reason, he's going to be Machmir to say that since the obligation is to come upon the Yachid, here there's a chumrah that you have to listen to all of laning, even if there's if you're in the young Israel of Woodmere, you're in a big five-town shul, where there's 500 men in at that minyan, presumably there's at least 10 people following laning, because think about it. You have the two gabayim, you have the balkor himself, you have the person who got the aliyah, you have the person saying next, who got the aliyah previously, who's bored and is probably following along laning also with the gabay, and at that point, you know, that's five over there. Hopefully the rabbi, the assistant rabbi, are also following laning, so you got seven. So really, all you need is like three more people out of 500 to be following laning. That's not, I think we could assume that there's probably 10 men following laning over there. Nonetheless, Zak the Be'er Halacha, the mitzvah doesn't come upon the Yachid. So just for the same reason he was makel when it came to relying on Ruba Kukulo, he's going to be machmir here and say, you're not allowed to learn during laning because you have an obligation as an individual to hear all of laning. And for that very same reason, in this other nafmina we saw in the paragraph earlier, there's also machlokis whether you have to stay in for laning or not. In theory, if you want to leave and miss an aliyah, that would be okay, according to the Chai Adam school of thought, that it's an obligation to come upon the tzibur. As long as there's a tzibur lading, it's okay. But if we hold like the Be'er Halacha, which might be how we paskin, because the Be'er Halacha seems pretty much the normative opinion, or we just don't like to publicize the more makel shitas, the Be'er Halacha holds that it's incumbent upon each and every yachid to hear lading, therefore the yachid should not leave. Now here's the question. If we really hold like the Be'er Halacha, that means mamish. If I need to go to the bathroom, I need to plan accordingly, because that means I really shouldn't be missing any aliyah. Because this isn't just a question about missing all of laning or not. This is a question about missing even one aliyah. I'm just asking a question. Like, according to Be'er Halacha, you can't even miss one aliyah. So you have to be really makbid on staying in. It's almost like Mikra Megillah. The Be'er Halacha doesn't distinguish between Mikra Megillah and Kriyas HaTorah in that respect, like the Ramban did. He thinks they're the same thing. They're both chiyav, that is mutl, on the yachid. And therefore, it comes with its leniencies, let's say Ruba Kukulo. It comes with its stringencies of having to stay in and hear all the aliyos.
There's also a point of view that hearing the aliyos includes the brachos, too.
Well, the brachos were, right, so originally only the first aliyah opened up, and the last aliyah concluded, but Dafka, because we're worried about those who were going in and out, Nechnasin, V'yotzin, therefore they instituted that everyone...
Rivals.
What was that?
The
late arrivals.
Missed.
Right, who will say, oh, wait, what do you mean? There's no bracha. There's no bracha Torah. We're so afraid that people would see that. Now, this thing I always wondered about is, well, that's like the one thing in the middle of davening where we're worried latecomers like, are going to think, oh, we don't make bracha Torah. So, like, that's the one thing the Rabbana had to make a special takana for. So I thought to myself, this is more Tisha B'Av Torah, but one of the reasons that the...
It's the Purim Torah, which this is.
So that you have to channel this few psukim to the Eicha, to the Eicha tune. That one of the reasons, so especially in the more liberal Jewish world, you know, whenever we talk about the reason the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, it's only Kamsa Bar Kamsa and Sinas Chinam. But we forget there's a number of other reasons given in the Gemara for why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. There's the Gimel Chamuros. Right, so we have a Vodazar Gilera Shvicha Stamim. That was another
for the first one.
Ah, very good. But for the second one, another reason that's given is that we weren't careful about Birchas HaTorah. And there's a Ran on there that says that we didn't make a Birchas Torah. It means that we weren't Machshav the Torah to be more important than our other pursuits. And I think there's a Beis Halevi on there as well, where we treated it the same way as secular studies. And there's a really great Yeshiva Shvar Torah for that. Mm-hmm. So Birchas Torah was one of the reasons that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because we weren't careful about it. So I think that's one of the reasons that the Chachamim were so careful to make sure that people shouldn't even have a Havamina, that we weren't making a Birchas Torah. So we do an additional one a la Torah, even if you already made the Birchas Torah in the morning as an individual.
But a totally different question. Is there an individual's obligation to be part of a tzibur?
Okay. All right, thank you for coming. We'll conclude the shiur over here, and then we'll take questions.